Well, we've been, this is number 14 in our series, What New Believers Need to Know. And, you know, I think we've been hitting on some of those basic things that we just need to be reminded of, and also some things that we may have missed in our growth. But today is a little bit different. It's kind of in line with the new year. And although it's still foundational in what new believers need to know. And so often we think that the deep things of the Word are not for new believers. But really, we need to start them off with the things that matter. And that's where we've been. That's where we've been recently. And last week, the last time we were together like this, we talked about having our heart and mind in line, our desires in line with God's desires. The very purpose of our life being in line with the purpose, the same purposes of God. And we looked at that if we were going to do that, that in our life, nothing can compete with God. Nothing can compete with Him. Not our families, not our work, not our hobbies. That God desires that nothing compete with Him. And if we're going to do that, we looked at two things that must happen, that must be true in our lives. And the first is that some of that stuff from Romans that we talked about, that we must live by the new nature and not the old. Not submitting to the flesh, but submitting to the Spirit in us. And we went into some detail about how that works, the mechanics of the new life, and how we, by faith, we live out the character of Christ. And the other connected to that is that that knowledge and the belief that we have a new life, that we must actually really believe it. Believe God and trust Him fully to put those things into practice. And we had a little term that we used that the kind of a daily reminder is the mood of your soul faith from Andrew Murray. And that kind of, that has struck me ever since then. There will be times during the day when I have a little bit of that anxious spirit, you know, that uneasiness, or even it can go further, anger, frustration. And that reminder, if the mood of your soul is not faith, then something's off, something's wrong. And we need to come back and trust that God is sovereign, no matter what our circumstances are, that He is sovereign, that He's given us eternal life, a new life in us, and that we can live that if we will truly put our trust in Him, if we'll believe Him. And you know those little, that was your review from last week. Those little, sometimes those little sayings, you know, those things just strike me sometimes. And it might be the title of a book or one sentence like the mood of your soul is faith that sort of condenses some scriptural ideas. And not long ago we looked at a book. I mean, we were studying the church, and there was a title of a book. I never even read the whole book, but I didn't need to. The title of the book was Stop Dating the Church. And it just tells you everything. It's marry the church. It's be committed. It's be committed to the body. Be committed to one another. And just that saying stuck with me, the title of that book by Joshua Harris, Stop Dating the Church. And another thing that recently, you know, there's even some accidental things from movies that they don't even intend it to be that way that stick to me. And you know the one I always say, right? From Gladiator. Where they're getting ready to go down the hill and he yells out, you know, the things we do today will echo throughout eternity. Now, he didn't mean that necessarily in a spiritual way, the way I took it. But yet, it was a true statement that just stuck with me. And there have been some things on my mind recently about how am I living my life? Am I doing what God called me to do? And is He still calling me to do what I'm doing? And am I making the most of my life? Is my life making an impact in the world? And there's been the title of this book that I've seen it in bookstores. I've seen it in, you know, little flyers you get about Christian books. And it's a book by John Piper. And it's called Don't Waste Your Life. And it was another one of the things I didn't even really have to read the book to get. There's a heart of the message there. Don't waste your life. And so I was going to I decided to incorporate that into our what new believers need to know. And with the new year coming up, you know, you could term it, don't waste this next year. I like the, you know, a lot of different, whether it's holidays or that sort of thing, I don't really necessarily get into all of it. But for some reason, the new year always strikes me is that it's like a fresh start. You know, it's something new ahead of us, you know, a marking point. And it could be at any time. It doesn't have to be January the 1st. But still, this is a new year ahead of us. And I don't want us. And I have a responsibility towards you. And we have a responsibility towards each other in this area, that we do not waste this year that's ahead of us. And our life comes at us, you know, a year at a time or a moment at a time. So you could say, don't waste the next moment or the moment after that or the moment after that. Don't waste the year. Don't waste the life that's in front of you. And we've talked about it before, that it is short. Life is short. It's full of second chances, you know. It doesn't matter if you are growing older like we all are. Life is full of second chances. But really, there's only one chance at life. You don't get a second chance. This is it. This is all that we have to invest in eternity. And as we were talking about this morning, about the way some people have spent their life, and they'll pay for that, they'll reap the results of how they live the rest of their life, the rest of eternity. And that the message that Piper has in that book, Don't Waste Your Life, comes out of a repeated theme in Scripture. And, you know, this, today I wanted to do a complete sort of a synopsis and just kind of do a complete thing this morning, but I just wasn't ready. So today is going to be an introduction, and we're going to, so you have to come back next week and to get the real impact of it. But we'll introduce this topic and what it means to not waste your life. This is built on the things we've already studied. We've already looked at the idea of substitution. If you don't understand the idea of substitution, then, and somebody's going, okay, what does he mean by that? Substitution. That you have come face to face with your sin. You have recognized that I'm a sinner. There's nothing I can do. Death is the correct and just payment for my sin. But Jesus took my place as my substitute. He died in my place. Substitution. Identified with the death, burial, and resurrection. Because if you want to make the most of your life, it has to be in line with God's desires and purposes. And that is the first step, to be right with Him, to have been identified with His death, burial, and resurrection. So, it's based on a foundation of where we go with this, how not to waste your life. And we're going to get detailed on this and hopefully get some reality of how do I not waste my life on my job or with my family? How do you not waste your daily time that you have been given you by God? But these foundational things, we have to mention these because this is what it's built on. Humility. That we understand, and we've talked about this already, that there is a lot, getting to a place of humility is the groundwork for living by faith. That you have to come to a place of understanding how weak you really are. And that is a long road of failure and discouragement sometimes until we finally recognize just how weak we are and that we have to put our trust fully in God. The other is faith, which we've just talked about. We won't go back into that. Abiding in Christ, prayer, that there is an absolute truth. In other words, that the essence of your life, the meaning of your life, doesn't come from within you. That's called existentialism. That when we have to create our own meaning. Now that's our culture. You know that, right? Now it may sound a little bit, there's another name called postmodernism. That's our culture. That's the air we breathe. And it affects us. That truth is what's true for me. And I've been to many a Bible study that is taught in a postmodern way. That, well, what does this scripture mean to you? Because whatever it means to you is just as important as what it means to me. And just, no, there's a truth in scripture. It was saying what it's saying. And that's what we have to get to. What does the Bible really say? So that's another foundation for not wasting your life. What does the Bible have to say about not wasting your life? What does God have to say about not wasting your life? And we want to see where these things meet reality. What does this mean for you when you go to work? What does it mean for you as you interact with your children, with your family? We want to make sure that when you get to the end, and everybody's going to get to the end, you are going to get to the end. You're going to have a final day. You're going to take your last breath. And most, we don't like to think about it. But it could be when you grow old, or it might not. It could be while you're still young. You will take your last breath. And you will look back. I'll guarantee you this too. It may not be, you could die suddenly. You know, you may not get a chance to look back before you die. But you will look back. And you'll look back at your life. And you'll have to say, either I wasted it or I invested it for eternity. It mattered. It made a difference. But now is the time we decide if our life is going to make a difference or if it is going to be wasted. Like I said, you have one life. Second chances, there are. I've had plenty, plenty of second chances, and I'm sure you have too. But those second chances come to an end. First of all, now, this weekend, next week, you'll need to go through this with me. We'll need to work through this because it's something you need to understand deeply. Think of the importance of even the thought of, am I going to waste my life or is it going to make a difference for eternity? The first thing, you were made for a purpose. God created you for a purpose. And your greatest joy by far will come when you fulfill the purpose for which you were made. Let's go to Isaiah 43, 6 and 7. There's a general theme in the Bible. The general theme is you were made to know God. That's a repeated over and over. It may not come out and say it in those exact words, but over and over you were created to know God. You were created in His image so that you could know Him. Now, it goes a little further than that. You were created to glorify God, to bring glory to Him. You see, this is something else we'll look at in this short mini-series here, is understanding love. Love is not about making a big deal about you. It's completely misunderstood. Love is about making a big deal about God. And I'll explain that a little deeper. If you do not understand that, you'll think that the best way I can show love to you is making a big deal about you. But that's not the best love that I can show for you. So we have to really deeply understand what our purpose is. There's only one person in the universe that can be all about their own glory and it be okay. It's okay for God in His perfection to be all about His glory. And He wants you to be all about His glory. And if you have a little bit of a thing inside you that says, God's kind of using me, He's taking advantage of me, we'll deal with that too. But first, let's get this understanding that God's purpose for you is to bring glory to Him. Let's go to, let's read that, Isaiah 43, 6 and 7. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. There is a general purpose that you have. And that general purpose is that you were created for God's glory. And we'll get into the details of how can I bring glory to God in the everyday moments of my life. How does that happen? And there's a little bit of a secret here, is that when you do that, the way God made you, when you fulfill the purpose for which He made you, you will have joy But it's also circular in the sense of you cannot bring glory to God unless you do have joy. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. We waste our lives when we do not plan and work toward magnifying God in all of the areas of our life. Everything. You think about all the areas of your life. Whether it's your job, what you wear, school. God desires us to magnify Him in every single area of our life. We were created for His glory. Now, what we'll discover here is that while it's God's aim to fully display His glory, that's God's aim. It's also His twin aim for His people to delight in Him with all their heart. And you'll see this over and over throughout the Old Testament and the New, that He desires us to love Him with all of our heart, to delight in Him with all of our heart. So we have this dual purpose, to bring glory to His name as the very core purpose of our daily lives, is what I'm doing today, bringing glory to God's name, and am I delighting in doing that? Do I delight in Him with all my heart? If I see the wisdom, the power, and the love of God, if I see those things, I read and I study, I see the God that made everything. I see the God that put the stars in the sky, that made this earth, that made people, that made animals. And I see, but yet I do not delight in Him, I do not have joy in Him, then He is not glorified in me. And that's a point that I will hopefully prove to you as we go through this weekend, next week. That without delighting in Him, without having joy in that, then His purpose will not be complete in us. So, you can see that obviously, you must be reconciled to God to glory in Him and to delight in Him. There's no other way. There's only one way to God, that's through Jesus. If we have not come to God in the way that He prescribed, then there's no way that we cannot waste our life. That sounds a little harsh, but our lives will be wasted unless we have come to Him in this manner. So, now if you are a Christian, if you have done that, then you may have felt you may have felt forced at times to choose between glorifying God and being happy. Have you ever felt that tension? Well, I want to choose this. It's going to make me happy. But this is the right thing to do, probably. It's going to glorify God. You feel a little tension in that. But this is a twisted perception. Twisted in our own minds. We cannot glorify God unless we are happy in Him. And we cannot have full joy unless we are glorifying Him, because that is what we were made for. To delight in Him. You will waste your life if you spend it thinking that these are separate paths and not one path. Does that make sense? If you think you have to choose between being happy and glorifying God, then you will waste your life. Because you will at times choose one or choose the other, choose one or choose the other, when it's really one choice. Some of us, even here today, could die in our service to God. We could die. We could be persecuted to the point that we would die. Jesus says in Mark 8:35, whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. Now, let me go back just a minute here. There's a warning about this path of glorifying God and having joy. John Piper in his book said, the path of God exalting joy will cost your life. Now, listen to that carefully. The path of God exalting joy. And there's no deeper joy than that. The path of God exalting joy will cost you your life. Now, I just mentioned that it could actually cost you your physical life. It could. Some people are paying that price. But either way, it will cost you to die to self. And again, in Mark 8:35, Jesus says, whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. We were designed to belong to another. That's in our makeup. We were designed to belong to someone else. You see, God created us. We know from firm foundations, to create something means that you own it. He created us. He owns us. Now He has a double ownership of us, because with the death of Jesus, He purchased us with His blood. So He has double ownership. He created us, and He purchased us with His blood. We mess up this design when we live for ourselves. That's what we mean by dying to self. We mess up the very design of how you were designed to operate, to glorify God and to gain your joy from that. When you live for yourself rather than for God, you mess up that design. Now, as I was saying, some of us could die, physically die, be persecuted, die in our service of Christ. This would not be a tragedy. It's not a tragedy for someone to die in the name of Jesus. To treasure your life above Christ would be a tragedy and a wasted life. And in this little series, we're going to talk about the right and the wrong of taking risk. When is it right to risk your life? Is it ever right to risk your life voluntarily? The tragedy is not to lose your life. The tragedy would be to waste your life. If you live joyfully to make others happy in Christ. Now that sounds a little shallow, doesn't it? But you see, my desire, the reason I should be doing what I'm doing, is to make you happy in Christ. How do I do that? I encourage you. I teach. I spur you on to live your life totally to glorify God. Because I know when you are living to glorify God, then and only then will you have full joy. So, if I live joyfully to make others happy in Christ, and if you do that, it will make your life hard. It will make your life hard. And you'll take many risks. But your joy will be full. Let's go to Isaiah 26:8. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and your renown are the desire of our hearts. If you live like this, your life will not be wasted. If the desire of your heart is that the name of God be renowned and glorified, then your life will not be wasted. I hope you're thinking just ahead a little bit, and that how you do your job, how you live your life, either brings glory or shame to God. One or the other. At any moment in time, you are bringing shame or glory to God. Your life will not be wasted if you bring glory to God. And we'll describe that a little more in case you, in your imagination or your thought back, you can't see that clearly. We'll give you some examples. But before we do that, we'll look at one man that was set free to bring glory to God through his passion for God. Philippians 3, 7 and 8. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Paul was set free from small, self-centered dreams and plans. You see, when our dreams and our plans are centered around ourselves and making ourselves happy rather than bringing glory to God, we dream small and we think small. But if we set out each day for the glory of Christ in every single area of our life, then we will live in a way that our life will matter. It will make a difference in the world and for eternity. And you can see that in Paul, all over the place. But you see it particularly here, that bringing glory to God, knowing Christ, was so far above everything else in his life that he had enormous joy in that. And his life was not wasted. So, I would like you to think about this week, before we dig into this with more detail, I would like you to be praying and thinking about this. The next year of your life. What are you going to do with the next year of your life? God's dealing with you on something. He is. Now, you may not have heard it just yet. But I believe that if you're sitting here, God brought you here for a reason. And He's dealing with you on something for the next year. He does not want you to waste your life. And you're doomed. Your natural tendency is to waste your life. Your natural tendency is to live for yourself, not the glory of God. And this is a reminder of why you're alive and why you're breathing. Is that your purpose is to bring glory to God. So resolve this year to live with all of your might for the glory of God. Not to bring glory to yourself or to your family, but to live with all of your might for the glory of God. For Him to be seen. For Him to look good. Not for you to look good. To do that in everything. Every area of your life. And I know you can think of some areas, well, how am I going to do that in this? Well, we'll talk about those things. Very practical things. With the full knowledge, resolving this, committing yourself to this, with the full knowledge and faith that this is where I will be the most happy. He tells us that. It's okay to know that. It doesn't feel like it. But this is where I will be the most joyful, the most happy, is living every moment to bring glory to God. Commit also to live for the joy of others. That's what Paul spoke to the Philippians about, laboring for their progress and their joy in the faith. He wrote that in a couple of places, that he was laboring for their joy. He was laboring for their happiness. How was he doing that? He was getting them to live their life every moment for the glory of God. So we'll talk about finances. How do you manage your finances for the glory of God? Ouch. That's a tough one. Our future plans. Risk. You know, we've talked about going to Turkey. There's some risk involved in that. Is that okay? Is that okay for us to ask that? To people to take a risk for the sake of the gospel? Is that a reasonable request? What's behind that? How do we make our decisions on that? We'll talk about what the motivation is and if it is right. Your ministry. That is your ministry really for the glory of God? Who's it for the glory of? And He promises, and we will focus on this. He promises that He is enough. Well, look at some of the promises of God. You know, He promises that we won't go hungry, we won't go with all these things. But when you look a little deeper into those promises, it's really what He's promising is He's promising Himself. He's promising Himself, and that He is enough. His presence is enough. And we'll look at some saints that have suffered greatly, yet they maintained joy through it because He was enough for them, and they were living every moment for the glory of God, and that gave them great joy no matter what their circumstances were. And it will give you great freedom in the next year if you can zero in Not just have a whole long list of rules and things to do and accomplish. But if you can zero in and live your life around a theme, then I believe this would be it. And so we'll look some more next week at how that is done.